Okay, everybody have study sheets in hand. We have we're talking about what does the Bible say about questionable things, and we have noted that a lot of times we talk about things being, you know, what I do about something, and when it's questionable, when it's really not questionable at all. The Bible is quite specific about a lot of things. So first of all, we've asked, how can I know if something is a sin? And I have given you, over the last 3 weeks, I've given you 10 different lists in the Bible of sins. Things that we're not to engage in or not to associate with or to turn away from or to put away from our lives. Things that's not to be even named among believers. 10 different lists. I want to give you two more tonight, and then I want to try to finish this lesson. So we're going to move rather quickly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. There are 5 sins that Christians must lay aside. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now these are things that we don't have to pray about. We don't have to wonder about, talk about, ask counsel about. It's just when the Bible says it, we're just supposed to do it. Amen? So there are 5 sins that Christians must lay aside. These are in addition to the 10 list of sins we've already looked at. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, there's 5 things listed here that we're to lay aside. Notice that, first of all, he says malice. And that word malice means wickedness. It means to be bad, all right? It says that Christians are to lay aside all malice, wickedness, a horrible, bad things, like putting toilet paper on a preacher's car. Right. Wicked. I mean, if something like that didn't even enter minds back in this day, but it had it been so, in the time when the scriptures would have written, it would have had that in here, I think. There'd have been 6 things. But, all right, malice. And then number 2 is the word guile. Guile. He said, lay aside all guile. And that word, it means deceit. It means to trick or to decoy or to bait. Guile. Christians are not to be involved in deceitful things. And then number 3, hypocrisies. Hypocrisies. That means not real, not genuine, to act a part. You might never be the Christian that you want to be. I'm sure you won't. None of us ever attain that part. We're never as close to God as we really want to be. We never know as much scripture as we would like to know. We're never as much of a prayer warrior as we would like to be. We'll never win as many people to Christ as we ought to win and desire to win. We'll never be able to memorize, commit to memory as many scriptures as we'd like to. But there is one thing, bless your heart, that you can do. You can be genuine. You can be real. You can be the same person on Monday as you are on Sunday. You can be the same person at home with the kids as you are here at church. You can be real, all right? It says that we're to lay aside hypocrisies, just acting a part. And then number 4, envies, jealousies, spites, ill will. When there's someone and you've got ill will toward them, they are jealous of them or you're spiteful toward them. That's not the way a Christian ought to behave. That may be something that's commonplace at school or at work or among your group, but it ought not be that way when you become a child of God. God's people are not to have ill will toward anyone. There's no one that you're to be spiteful to. That it says that we're to lay aside envies. And then number 5, evil speakings. Evil speakings, backbiting, defamation. Christians are not to be involved in that. Trying to go around and tear somebody down. Why would a Christian brother or sister ever, ever do that to another Christian? You've got to fight the devil every day of your life. Why in the world should you ever have to fight another believer? We ought not ever be involved in backbiting and trying to cause harm and pain and hurt to others. That's not what Christians, the Bible says, Christians, you lay that aside. That was a part of you, but now you've become a child of God. So you purposely, as an act of your own choice, you lay that part of you away and get it out of your life. All right? And then notice, he tells us that these are five sins that Christians must lay aside. Then he tells us there are 10 sins that Christians must not be given to. It must not become an overwhelming part of your life. And so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is the last list. This is not all the places in the Bible that sin is mentioned, certainly. But I think in these 12 lists that I've given you, it's quite thorough. And we've taken the time over the last 3 weeks to go through these and cover them and hopefully give you a better understanding of what the Bible says in this area. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Then he gives a list. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's saying that people that live that lifestyle, that practice this lifestyle, are not the people that have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. But then verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's telling us that God can forgive all manner of sin. Amen. And He seeks to and wants to and desires to. And there's nothing that you've become involved in that God can't cleanse you from and bring your life to a new level. All right. So let's look at these as we examine these 10 sins. Notice that he says, number one is fornication. We've already looked at that one. That's sexual impurity. It's a broad term. It applies to all kinds of sexual sins. Anytime that you're involved in sexual activity outside of marriage, then that is wrong, and that's fornication. And it's any form of it. We live in a day and time when people try to separate some things. Well, this is and that isn't. I think everybody in here knows what we're talking about. And it applies, it's a broad term, any type of sexual activity that is not sanctioned with a wedding ring. If you're married, you say, well, what does that piece of paper mean? Here's what it means. It means God says it's okay now. That's exactly what it means. And if you are involved, if you're living with somebody and you're not married, you're shacking up in adultery, it is wicked, it is sinful, it is wrong, it is just as wrong as it ever was. Doesn't matter what Hollywood's doing. Doesn't matter what society's doing. God's word is specific. Fornication, any kind of sexual impurity. Number two, he talks about idolaters, and that's worshiping things. When things become more important to you than God, you say, well, boy, that's one I'm not guilty of. Well, that's great, but before we jump real high on that, we might ought to stop and think about it, because whatever takes priority in your life has become your God. You know, and some people will give up church in a heartbeat for a little better job. I mean, boy, your conviction runs deep. But I won't be in the house of God until you find out you can get a promotion, get $2 an hour more somewhere else. Now, it means you can't come to church anymore. You got to work. But hey, man, $2 an hour extra, I'll take that. What is number one in your life? You know, it blesses my heart when I hear people tell me, preacher, I had this chance to do this or that, but it would mean I'd have to give up my class or give up my bus route, and I couldn't do that, and I turned it down. Now, that's when you've got some Christian conviction. As a Christian, there ought to be some things that you will not do for money. And if I came to you tonight and said, folks, listen, I love you, and I love this church, and I tell you, I just love serving here, but I've got an offer from another church, and they're going to raise my salary over there, and you know, I mean, man, I hate to leave y'all. You'd say, well, that dirty, rotten preacher, man, I thought he was real. That scoundrel, all he's in it for is the money. And you'd be right. But let me say to you something. When you do the same thing, you're just as dirty, rotten scoundrel as I would be. Now smile at me. Don't you get me wound up tonight. I'm just touching this unless you mess with me. Amen? But if money shouldn't be all what all my life's about, neither should it be what all your life's about. You know what? If I were the devil, you know what I'd do? One of the best ways in the world to get people out of serving God is the moment you get in a church and start growing, find a way to get them out of there. It doesn't matter which way. Make them mad at somebody. Make them mad at a member across the aisle over there. Look around at a member and get mad at them. You can even get mad at the preacher. Now, you can't stay mad at me because I love you, all right? You can't. You can try, but you can't. But you, if I were the devil, I'd get you mad at somebody. Get you away from there because you're growing. Amen? And if I can't get you mad at somebody, I'd try to get you to move. Just relocate you, get you dislocated away from things. Can't find. You know what most people tell us when you go out and knock on their door that used to be active in church? You know what happened? They moved. And they can't ever quite get back in. You never find what you leave behind, but you need to, if you can't find a place to serve God where you've moved to, you're out of God's will by being it. So I would do that. And if I couldn't get you to move, I'd offer you a better job. Huh? But you got to work on Sunday. Just a better job. Thinking of a young couple right now. Man, just growing leaps and bounds. Just got a new job. Can't be here. I mean, folks, wouldn't you do that? If you were the God of this world and had that capability, I'm saying watch what you put first ahead of God. Because if it's ahead of God in your life, it's becoming an idol. Idolatry. All right? He tells us, he says, now we need to put away fornication, idolatry, and then adulterers. Adulterers, that's people that's unfaithful to the marriage vows. Relationship that you develop. Watch third parties. Watch who you talk to. Men have got no business going to women to talk about your marriage problems. You women have got no business going to some man talking to them about your marriage problems. Ladies need to talk to ladies and men need to talk to men. Are you listening to me? Amen. And that old boy at work that just really cares and got such a tender heart, and you can go and talk to him about what a rat your husband is, but he just totally got pure motives, preacher. He just wants to be a help. Yes, sir. Yeah. 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 Watch what you do, all right? Unfaithful to marriage vows. And then it says that effeminate, and that means to be soft. It means to be addicted to the flesh. Watch what you're doing. And we need to recognize it as Christians that God made us who we are. And if you are male, God made you male. If you're female, God made you female. And then you need to be who you are. And ladies, train your children to be what they are. Amen. Amen. Don't put dresses on your little boys. Huh? Get your little boys little dolls so they can comb their hair and fix them all up. Now you say, preacher, I think you're being a little ridiculous. Maybe I am. But I want to tell you something. We're living in a confused society today. Don't add to the confusion. All right? So he says, then the next thing he says is abusers of themselves. And that refers to sodomy or to homosexuality. He tells us that, he says, such were some of you. But he said, you've been washed in the blood. The Bible tells us that we are to be as God has made us. And then look at the next thing. It says, thieves. That means to be stealing, taking that which is not ours. And then number 7, covetous. That's having improper desires. To covet something that is not yours and something that is not for you. Improper desires. We've covered it before, so I'll not spend much time there. Next thing is drunkards. To be given to alcohol. To be controlled by it. The Bible says we're not to even look upon it when it begins to move about in the cup. When it's fermented, stay away from it. And then number 9, revilers. It means to be abusive. It means to rail on something. We're not to be that way. You're not to be that kind of a person. Men are not to be abusers of their homes and of their wives and of their children. I believe in child discipline. I do not believe in child abuse. I believe in corporal punishment. I believe that children ought to be spanked. I do not believe they should be hit and slapped and kicked and knocked and thumped on the head and, and called all kinds of things. That's not the way that you show love and discipline. And so we are not to be abusive. And then number 10, extortioners. And that means to seize something, an idea of carrying off something some way, finding some way to carry something off of somebody else's, to get something that belongs somebody else that is not legitimate. That's extortion. And it tells us that Christians are not to be involved in that. Now, look at number 2. We first ask, how can I know if something is a sin? First thing you do is check it out in the Bible and look at these 10 different lists is a good place to start. But what if the area that I'm concerned about is not specifically mentioned in Scripture? And I want to say to you that if you limit yourself to the thou shalt nots of Scripture, you're going to miss a whole lot of Bible. There are a lot of things that's not specifically mentioned, and yet there are plenty of areas that it addresses it. And so that's why we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to know the Word of God. And so what if there's no specific Scripture reference? Well, from this we need to learn some things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If there's no specific Scripture reference, what do I do about questionable things? Well, let me give you just a few verses tonight and see what it teaches us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, from this we learn, number 1, always ask, can we in good conscience ask God to bless the activity or the plan or the decision that we're considering? Always ask yourself this question. Can I in good conscience ask God to bless the activity, the plan, or decision we're considering? If you're planning on getting on an internet site, and you know on that internet site that you're going to see pornographic images. Well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not get on an internet site and look at pornography. Well, there's plenty of places we've already studied that would nail that one. But if we didn't even look at those, can you do this? Can you bow your head and say, "Dear God, I'm about to go on an internet site and look at pornography. Would you please bless it?" Now, The most unlearned Christian in the world would know better than to pray that prayer. And there are many things that you are tempted to get involved to, or maybe a friend invites you to join with them in something. There are many things, many activities. And if you were to just pray, "God, would you bless me with this?" There's something in your heart. There's a little voice that the Holy Spirit will use to speak to you and tell you, uh-uh. But in most cases, you won't even have to get that far, because the moment you stop to acknowledge God in your heart, you'll know, I don't need to go any farther. What about questionable things? What if there's no specific Scripture reference? Then ask, can we in good conscience ask God to bless this activity or this plan or this decision? And then number 2, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. What does the Bible say about questionable things? What if there's no specific Scripture reference? What do I do then? Well, what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 14. And look at verse 23. The Bible teaches us as Christians that we need to try to steer clear of actions that are forbidden by Scripture. But the Bible also tells us that whatsoever is not of faith, look at what it says, It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. And then look down at verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what he's telling us here is that when we go ahead and do something that is against our conviction or against our conscience, we leave ourselves open to this uneasy feeling inside. And the Bible teaches us that this is an important thing for us to consider. And so, number two, from this we learn, if there is doubt, we should give it up. If there is doubt, we should give it up. He's telling us that our liberties, and there is such a thing as Christian liberty, but Christian liberty does not give you the freedom or the right to do something that's going to cause others to stumble. What he's saying is that it ought to mean more to you that others grow in Christ than for you to exercise some liberty that you have. And so he's telling us then that if there is doubt, you've looked at it, you've looked through the Scriptures, you've tried to find what the Bible says about it, you hadn't found a specific Scripture, but you're uneasy about it. Just in your heart of hearts, you can't find a peace about it. There's a certain amount of guilt that you feel about it. So if in doubt, if you can't do it in faith, if you can't do it with a solid feeling of in your heart that God is in this, don't do it. When in doubt, what? Don't. All right, number three. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What if there's no specific Scripture reference? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Moving sort of quickly tonight, but stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what he says, and he says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you know, if you live in a building that's owned by somebody else, then you recognize that this building belongs to someone and you're not to violate that building. As a matter of fact, there are some rules of use concerning that building. Amen? And since you're not the owner, you recognize that. You recognize the owner's right to have rules of use for this building. When you become a Christian, you realize that your body is a building that is owned by God. And He has some rules for use. And so the Bible tells us, well, we're trying to consider questionable things. Should I do this? Should I not do it? Is it right? Is it wrong? Well, read this Scripture, and then from this you will learn, number three, if it damages us spiritually, physically, or mentally, it should be dropped. If you're doing something that damages your body physically, whether that is taking drugs, drinking alcohol, or overeating, if you're doing something that is damaging your body, that breaks the rules. That breaks the rules of ownership. Your body belongs to God. Be careful how you treat what God has loaned to you. All right? So that means that we are not to do something that damages us physically or spiritually. If you damage your body spiritually, be careful what you expose your spirit to. Be careful what you read, what you listen to. It can damage you spiritually. The Bible says that we're to try the spirits whether or not to be of God. Be careful what you let enter in through the ear gate, through the eye gate, into your spirit. There's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot of people that do a lot of spiritual talk. But the problem is they do not allow the Bible much to get in their way. Jesus said, they that worship me, he gave two guidelines. They that worship me must worship in spirit and in what? Truth. Now, it slaps at both sides. If you know the Bible forwards and backwards, know every verse there is, but you are a deadhead, you don't have any spirit. There ought to be some spirit in our worship. Amen? God's people need to feel something, and we need to be excited about God. We've been emphasizing on Sunday night, serving the Lord with gladness. There ought to be gladness in your worship, gladness in your singing, gladness in your service, gladness in your attendance. You ought not be here in church going to sleep. I mean, you're here in the house of God worshiping. There ought to be some spirit about your worship. Amen? But by the same token, you can jump up and down, and you can be the most excited person there ever was, and you can be so spiritual that your feet never touch the ground, but if your doctrine's all messed up, you're not coming before God in truth. You need to have truth in what you're saying. People go out here and go to church and or tune on some television program because there's a woman preacher on there that you like to hear. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What part of the Bible can you just flat not read? Huh? Brother Tim got kicked off of a radio station because of his stand that God does not call women preachers. Now, where did he come up with that? He didn't get that out of the Boy Scouts. The Bible says God suffereth not a woman to teach. How many knows what the word suffers means? He does not permit women to teach men. Doesn't do it. I don't care. It's not about it. Well, I'll tell you what. She's a better preacher than me. Hey, ain't no question about that. Not a question about whether or not she can preach. It's whether or not she ought to preach if she's going to be true to this book. It's not a matter of putting down women. God's already elevated women. There are some things they can do that men can't do. I haven't seen any men giving birth. I hadn't talked to very many who thought they could live through it if they could. I can't imagine giving birth. I stubbed my toe the other day and I've been wanting to cry every day I get up. There's a reason why God didn't let men give birth. God made men, put them in their position. God made women, put them in their position. Neither is over the other one in value before God. God wants men to be men and women to be women. Each have an honored place in God's economy. God has a purpose for each. But God does not call women to preach. When he wanted to preach to Peter, he called a rooster to crow, not a hen to cackle. That's just the scripture, folks. Okay? I'm not running for nothing, so I'm not trying to be popular. I'm just telling you what it says. So Tim got kicked off of a radio station that he'd been on. How long had you been on there?
Almost 3 years.
3 years. For one issue. Because some folks had called in, did not like his stand. How many times do you hear stuff on there that you don't like either? And I admire him for not compromising.
Amen.
And he didn't want to be off. He wanted to be on there. And he'd been there and built up an audience and wanted to be a part of that. But you know, folks, the devil very early on tries to get you out of things. And it makes you or breaks you. And so, what do you do about things that's where there's no specific reference? Then from this we learn. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We've been bought with a price. It's not ours. It belongs to God. So from this we learn, number four, if it could adversely affect our family. Let's see, where are we? Did I give you number three? Yeah. We are where? We're at 1 Corinthians 19. All right, number three. If it damages us spiritually, if it damages us physically, if it damages us mentally, it should be dropped. Now turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. And look at verse 21. Romans 14 and verse 21. I pastored a church one time, and it's a good church, it's good people. I've not been there but just about 3 months. And I got up and I was teaching on our beliefs. And the deacons met with me and said, "Brother Riggs, if you keep preaching the way you're preaching, you're going to run off all of our charismatics." We were in my office. I went to the door, opened the door. Out front, we had a great big lighted sign. It was one Sunday night after church. And on the sign, I said, "Fellas, would you read to me what the big letters say on that sign?" They said, "What do you mean?" I said, the biggest letters on the sign, what does it say?" "Well, Open Door Baptist Church." And I said, "Man, this is a Baptist church. I don't ever want to run anybody off. Ever. I want folks just get, let's just love each other and love the Lord and serve together. Amen." You hear me say all the time, "I wish every backslider in Orlando would come here. We'd get to preach to them." I want everybody to come. But now we're not going to apologize for our Baptist distinctives. We are who we are. Amen. We're not going to hide it to try to get somebody to come and join. We are who we are. And so, look, it tells us here, look at Romans chapter 14, verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." The Bible teaches us that sin is not just a private matter. Everything that we do affects others. So from this we learn, number four, if it could adversely affect our family, our friends, or other people in general, it should be avoided. If it can adversely affect our family. You're thinking about doing something, but if you do it, you've got some family members that you've been trying to get to come to church, trying to get them saved, and they're just sitting there watching you, just waiting to see some weakness that they can use on you. And you know it. If you go ahead and do it, maybe it is not sin in itself, but it's going to cause them to turn away. It would not be wise to do it. So, if it could adversely affect our family, friends, or other people in general, it should be avoided. The last scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 12. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." That word expedient means best or wise or practical or useful. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, when you become a Christian, we have now been redeemed from the sins of the flesh. We've been bought with a price. Our name is now written in heaven. You are saved. We're no longer under the law. We're under the law of now of love. So you can do. I mean, preacher, if I quit coming to church, am I going to go to hell? Huh? Not if you're saved. I didn't think so. But on the other hand, if you are saved, the love of God's going to be in your heart, and you're not going to want to do anything that hurts your Heavenly Father, are you?
Amen. That's good. That's right.
Preacher, I have to tithe. You know, if I don't want to tithe, I have to tithe. Am I going to go to hell if I don't? No. You won't go to hell if you don't. But if you're going to be obedient to God, if you're going to be in God's favor, if you're going to show your love for Christ, there's going to be a desire form in your heart to give because He's given so much to you. And so from this we learn, number five, we must not let any habit or recreation, ambition, or activity have enough control over us to interfere with Christ being formed in our life. We must not let any habit, recreation, ambition, or activity have enough control over us to interfere with Christ being formed in our life. All things are lawful. I can do it. But it's not expedient. It's not best. Can you think of something that you would like to do, but it really wouldn't be best for your spiritual life? Whether it's a habit, whether it's an activity, whether it's an ambition, whether it's some recreation. You know, everybody could go and we could start taking Sundays and going to the beach and spending all day at the beach. But would that recreation get in the way of Christ being formed in you? All these teachers give up their Sunday school classes so they can go camping every weekend. Would that interfere with Christ being formed? Everybody give up their bus route. Choir director gives up the choir director. People in the choir quit going to the choir so they can go to the beach. But we love God. You see, it's lawful. You can do it. But it's not expedient, is it? It's not best. What do you do, preacher, about questionable things? What if there's no specific scripture reference? I've given you five things tonight that if you'll look at and honestly pray and say, "Dear Lord, can I in good conscience ask you to bless it? And if there is doubt, I'll give it up. If it damages me spiritually, physically, or mentally, it'll be dropped. If it adversely affects my family and friends and others, I'll avoid it. And I'm not going to let any habit or recreation, ambition, or activity have control over my life." I think that'll answer your question. Let's bow our head tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer.